When I was a student in a small Baptist church in Northern Ontario many years ago, living with the pastor's family, Sunday afternoons were not easy times. The family's Sunday afternoon ritual involved, it involved a great deal of nothing at all, actually. That was what was expected in that home at that time. You rest on the day of rest. In those days when the Lord's Day Act was still enforced in a sleepy Northern Ontario town, there really wasn't anything to do anyway. And one Sunday afternoon, when I was rather dissatisfied with doing nothing, I went down to the corner store, which was allowed to be open on Sunday, and I bought a copy of the previous day's Globe and Mail. If I couldn't do anything else, I surmised, I might as well read a newspaper. It wasn't exactly up-to-the-moment news, but it was something. When I returned to the manse, I sat down in the living room and opened up the paper. And the pastor came into the room, and presumably he was bored from doing nothing himself. But he looked at me and scowled and said, "You've been shopping." Well, for him, going to the corner store to get a newspaper on the Lord's Day was shopping. And in his eyes, I had thereby broken the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment says, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy." The word Sabbath is a Hebrew word. In Hebrew they call it Shabbat. It just means rest. Sabbath observance has been a point of controversy for a long time, especially among Christians. In my wife's home, for example, when she was growing up, it was about appearances. Laundry could be done on Sunday, but only if you hung the clothes to dry in the basement. Because, of course, if you use the dryer, someone might see the exhaust coming from the dryer and assume that in the minister's home, work was being done on Sunday. So they kept the letter of the law, at least as far as the neighbors were concerned. Sabbath observance has tended to be kind of a doer event for many Christians, and this isn't just a 20th or 21st century phenomenon. I read that in the 17th century in Scotland, a man was hauled off to prison for smiling on the Sabbath. Now, the fellow from whom I read this said that given the state of the nation in those days, he might perhaps have been congratulated for being able to smile on the Sabbath, but instead he was hauled off to prison. Oh, be joyful in the Lord indeed. Don't think it's that way in Scotland anymore, for the record. When it's suggested that the Ten Commandments are laws given in love, many people find it singularly difficult to see the fourth commandment as something God gave us because he loves us. Why, we surmise, would a loving God make us sit around all day and do nothing? That's a reasonable question to ask. Simply put, God would not give us a law in which we were required to sit around all day and do nothing. That must mean Sabbath keeping is really not about sitting around all day and doing nothing. Still, the law about Sabbath was given to the people of Israel wandering in the desert under Moses' leadership, and they took it seriously. Moses told the people in Exodus 35, verse 2, "You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on that day must be put to death." It's a good thing they were wandering in a desert and not the Arctic, because the next verse says they weren't even allowed to light a fire in their own homes on the Sabbath. Pretty serious stuff. So it may come as a surprise then to hear the prophet Isaiah waxing eloquent over the Sabbath. Listen to Isaiah 58, verse 13, first part of verse 14. It says, keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. Seems a little incongruous, doesn't it, that the idea that we should delight in a day which, if we violate it, we could be put to death? How could people enjoy a day when they were instructed to do nothing that interested them? Well, culturally, what developed among God-fearing Jews was just that thing. One Jewish writer has said that Shabbat is like nothing else. Time as we know it does not exist for those 24 hours, and the worries of the week soon fall away. A feeling of joy appears. The small object, a leaf or a spoon, shimmers in the soft light, and the heart opens. Shabbat is a meditation of unbelievable beauty. That's how a faithful Jew, when she's honest with herself, actually sees the Sabbath. Seems a long way from the fellow who ended up in the clink for smiling on Sunday. Abraham Heschel has said of the Jews and Sabbath that it was as if a whole people were in love with the seventh day. Well, what has happened to the Christian view of Sabbath if Jews see it as a day of delight and we tend to see it more as a day of drudgery? Well, there were these folks called Pharisees who kind of reigned on the Sabbath parade. Listen to this short discourse from Mark chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. One Sabbath, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?" Jesus said to them, "Haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God, during the days when Abiathar was the high priest, and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests were allowed to eat. He also gave that some to his companions." Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath." The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Jesus reminded the Pharisees and that Sabbath did not exist for its own sake. People were not born in order to be able to fulfill the Sabbath. Instead, the Sabbath was given for the benefit of the people. It was meant to be a day of joy and rest, but the Pharisees had turned it into a lifeless law of oppression. Well, from this we can conclude that first, in your notes, Sabbath keeping is not about legalism. Sabbath keeping is not about legalism. The pastor with whose family I lived for a long, hot summer seemed more interested in the law than in the joy that comes from its observance. Does that mean that Jesus has come to abolish the fourth commandment? Do Christians only have to observe 9 out of 10? No. Like the rest of the law, Jesus came to be its fulfillment, not its abolition. Jesus is why Christians do not celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday. The Christian Sabbath became Sunday very early in the history of the church so that believers and their children could mark weekly the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. And that fact is often missed, isn't it? The idea that we tend to think of the resurrection as something that happens on one Sunday a year when the lilies come out. But in reality, every Lord's Day is a celebration of the resurrection. Just as every celebration of the Lord's Supper celebrates Jesus' resurrection, so every worship gathering on the Lord's Day celebrates the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Sabbath observance should be for us a joy because it marks Jesus' resurrection and victory over sin and death. Now, this doesn't mean that we should just hold our noses and do the best we can to enjoy Sabbath in spite of the fact that it's dreadful drudgery and boring. In fact, if we could celebrate the Sabbath as a communal celebration, That's what it's about. It's corporate worship that we enjoy together. For the Jews, Sabbath is a communal celebration, and so it should be for Christ followers as well. Sabbath keeping should involve us joining others for worship. So this week on Facebook, I asked my friends if they had any Sabbath traditions. And I had 15 or 20 people respond in different ways. Everything from family to napping to watching movies with friends. Several mentioned the importance of corporate worship. Even a few noted that they turn off their smartphones for the day. For Christ followers, Sunday is often fraught with busyness. If we're involved to any extent in the life of the church, we may need to be there early to put coffee on, or stay late to lead a Life Connect group, or maybe we have to go home and be responsible to cook a big meal for the family or for guests, or maybe we're taxiing children from one event to another, sporting do or what have you. Doesn't feel like much of a day of rest when it gets described that way. By the way, here's something I once learned. You can prepare for the Sabbath on the day before. You can prepare if you've got a family that needs to get dressed before you rush them out here. You can always lay out their clothes and choose them the night before. If you've got a big meal to prepare, you can have stuff sitting in the crock pot waiting to be turned on the night before. Any necessary work that needs to be done to make Sabbath all it can be done ahead of time, if it is scheduled and anticipated. I think we miss the point when we view Sabbath as just another day. That is, and this is the second point in your notes, Sabbath keeping is not only about a day off. Not only about a day off. It should be about not engaging in our other regular work, but it can't stop there. God designed His creation to have a regular rhythm to it. Among the people who best understand this, I think, are astronomers and farmers. Astronomers look at time based on the rotations of the Earth on its axis and the revolutions of the Earth around the sun. One friend of mine greeted another friend on his birthday by saying, "Congratulations on another successful orbit of the sun." Turns out the birthday boy was an amateur astronomer to begin with. Farmers also understand the rhythm of time, because when you drive down the road and you see a vacant farmer's field, chances are that's not an accident. Usually what farmers will try to do every 7 years, give or take, is to let a field lay fallow so that the soil has a chance to regenerate some of its nutrients. God designed His people to have a regular rhythm about us too, and He modeled it in the creation of the world. In Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3, we read, "So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished His work of creation, so He rested from all His work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when He rested from all His work of creation." That the calendar has a seven-day week is no coincidence. That the seventh day of the week is the Jewish Sabbath is no coincidence. Neither is the fact that the first day of the week is the Christian day of worship and rest. God designed our bodies to spend 6 days in labor and one day in rest. Now, on the surface, it might seem like we must belong to the wrong union to be working 6 days a week. But that's not the point of it. Most of us in healthy working environments tend to have five-day work weeks with 2 days off in there somewhere. Ideally, one of those days is a day off regular work where you can catch up on all of the things that need to be done around the house. The other day should be a Sabbath. Even people who don't follow Jesus were made for a need with a need for Sabbath. They may not realize it, but we all have the same innate need for that seven-day rhythm. For the Christ follower, though, it's more than just a day off. Sabbath keeping is a way of ordering our lives, prioritizing our lives around the rhythm and work rhythms of work and rest, of fruitfulness and dormancy, giving and receiving, being and doing, activism and surrender. In other words, we should live the rest of the week so that Sabbath becomes possible. That means for many of us having to make some pretty courageous decisions about work and sports and church and community involvement. I want to give you an example of one of those courageous decisions. One of my Facebook friends who responded to my query about Sabbath traditions is a realtor. And real estate, as many of you will appreciate, is kind of a 24/7 kind of business. He belongs to another congregation. But one time when my friend had an offer to put in on a home on a Friday night, he called the other realtor who said, "Thanks, I'll see you Saturday night." The guy said, "What?" He said, "No, I'll see you on Saturday night. It's Sabbath." This was a Jewish real estate agent who was observing Shabbat. He did no work from Friday at sunset until Saturday at sunset. The deal was closed Saturday at sunset. The buyers were happy. The sellers were happy. The realtors got paid, so they were happy. And that was when my friend decided that he deserved a Sabbath too and stopped all work from Saturday night to Monday morning. He lets his clients know this up front so there's no surprises. And he has never lost a deal yet over it. And I'm going to play you what his Sunday voicemail sounds like. And this is with his permission, just to give you a sense of what a courageous decision he has made.
Hello, this is Len Chapman, and you've reached my cellular voicemail. Today is Sunday, and I will be spending the day as a day of rest with my family. I won't be returning calls or checking for messages until Monday morning, so please leave me a detailed message at the best time of day to call you, and I'll call you at that time on Monday. If you're calling to register an offer on one of my listings, I thank you very much, and your call will be my first priority on Monday. Thanks for calling, and have a great weekend.
How about that? And he hasn't missed a deal yet. Kind of remarkable. I wonder how many of us, doesn't matter what line of work we're in, how many of us would be able to do that? Actually say, no, this money-making opportunity can wait 24 hours. Most of Len's clients respect him for his decision and support it, so who could begrudge somebody a day off, especially when it's a Sabbath? Well, the Sabbath keeping is more than a day off. What can we say that it is? Three things that we can avoid and three things that we can engage in. This is the third point in your notes. Sabbath keeping is a discipline to avoid work and technology associated with it. Faithful Muslims stop to pray five times every day. And oftentimes the rest of us wonder how they can do that or why they do that. When in reality, many of the rest of us have a hard time stopping for, you know, one time a week to pray. But one of the things we don't seem to have trouble doing five times a day is checking our email or going to Facebook and seeing what people are doing or taking a picture of our lunch and tweeting it to all our friends. We don't have any trouble doing that five times a day. Isn't that interesting? If we're going to avoid work as part of our Sabbath keeping, then we had better avoid the technology that goes with it. If this was a fake phone, I'd whip it, but it's not. It's actually the real thing. A truly good Sabbath should probably avoid the overstimulation that goes with our addiction to technology in general. One of the things that I want to try to do as part of my reform of Sabbath keeping is to see how well I can do at steering clear of technology. Because that's probably the part that I struggle with the most. So this is not going to be easy, but I'm going to give it a try. Sabbath keeping is also a discipline to avoid consumerism. When Sunday shopping laws were repealed in Ontario, people rejoiced as if having one more day a week to shop meant that they were also going to have more money to shop. I remember when the Retail Business Holidays Act was repealed by the NDP government in Ontario, that I would say to people that they would have the same amount of money to spend, regardless on the number of days in which they had to spend it. But you know, I might have been wrong. Because the way people abuse credit nowadays, maybe they do have that much more money to spend. Well, some seek to avoid any kind of commercial transaction on Sunday as a means of avoiding contributing to another person having to work on Sunday. But in this multicultural society, I'm not sure that that's as much a concern as the personal discipline of keeping the rhythm of rest from the things that we tend to do on those other 6 days a week. Sabbath keeping is also a discipline to avoid worry. Christians, of course, should never worry because God has all things in His hand. But by this sort of worry, I mean the plague of the to-do list. There may be a list of chores as long as one's arm awaiting completion, but that list will still be there on Monday if you ignore it on Sunday. That list should be hidden in a drawer on your Sabbath so that it doesn't disturb your Sabbath rhythm. Of course, if that to-do list will still be around on Monday, that must mean that there has to be time carved out to accomplish its tasks. That means having the discipline to structure our lives in such a manner that Sabbath can be taken and enjoyed. When we can structure our week so that Sabbath becomes the pinnacle instead of the option, we will find our lives altogether reoriented for the better. Structuring our lives around Sabbath is an admission of our humanness. When we structure our lives around Sabbath, we say, I am not God. I cannot be in two places at once. God can. God is the one who never sleeps. So if we're supposed to keep our hand out of the job jar on the Sabbath, what is its purpose? Well, besides worship, and this is the fourth point in your notes, Sabbath keeping is a discipline to engage in rest for the body. If you're going at it hard on the second to seventh days, your body needs rest on the first day. Take it as a gift. In my survey of Facebook friends, most of them included rest or sleep in their Sabbath traditions. We were not made to go 100 miles an hour all the time. As one author, Wayne Mueller is his name, has written, if we do not allow for a rhythm of rest in our overly busy lives, illness becomes our Sabbath. Our pneumonia, our cancer, our heart attack, our accidents create Sabbath for us. The body needs rest, and that's part of the gift of Sabbath. Sabbath keeping is also a discipline to engage in refreshment of the spirit. If you're serious about your walk with God, you know that it's a battle out there. So much of what we do day to day conspires to tear us apart spiritually, and Sabbath helps to refresh our spirits. Worship, fellowship, personal devotion, trying to steer clear of what drains us, these bring refreshment to our spirits, which God knows that we need. He gives us these things through Sabbath. And Sabbath keeping is finally a discipline to engage in restoration of the soul. I've quoted C.S. Lewis before, who said that we tend to mix up the order of things. We think that we are bodies who have souls, where in reality we have a body and we are a soul. We talk about the importance of staying in shape, and that is vitally important, but no less important than the restoration of our souls, which happens not by taking a pilgrimage to a holy site. It doesn't happen by taking a canoe trip into the bush where there's nothing but you and a bazillion mosquitoes who are only after your blood. The restoration of the soul happens not as a one-off event, but by observing the rhythm that God has set up for us in our keeping of Sabbath each week. It is a gift from God. Sabbath keeping sounds like a weighty undertaking, but it shouldn't be so. What has me so excited about my own renovation of Sabbath is that I know it'll do me good. I'm not going into this with sighing resignation. Oh, I guess I have to do it. No. I'm going to try to do what our Jewish friends do. I'm going to try to fall in love with Sabbath and center my week around it. I'm not going to be legalistic with myself, and I'm not going to be legalistic with you either. It may take some time for us to adjust to God's planned rhythm for our lives. The Sabbath was made for us, not us for the Sabbath. It's a gift, not a yoke of oppression. Too often, though, our feeble attempts at Sabbath keep looking more like what Alistair Begg calls McSabbath, with little or no sacrifice required, like the pilgrimage or the canoe trip. It might satisfy an immediate itch, but it cannot satisfy our souls. Make no mistake, given the kind of pace at which we live nowadays and the manner in which we tend to structure our lives, keeping Sabbath will involve sacrifice. It will be hard work, but the benefits will far outweigh the sacrifices. The gift of Sabbath is not an end in itself, though. It foreshadows the greatest Sabbath of all, the one that believers will experience around God's heavenly throne. This is why the writer of the Hebrews was able to say, so there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. I don't know about you, but I look forward to that time when there's nothing to do but worship God and experience His grace flowing over us as we rest in the Lord. Our own weekly Sabbath observance is really a rehearsal for that great heavenly Sabbath. With that in mind, a couple of questions to consider as you look at renovating your own practice of Sabbath keeping. What activities will I refuse to engage in so that it is truly a day of rest, worship, and delight? And what activities bring me delight, and how will I incorporate them? Put the date on your calendar. Pray that God will help you to honor this Sabbath and keep it holy. And then just see where that starts to lead you.